Hey guys, Brent Chan, and welcome back to PhotoProfit.net, where we talk about the business of photography. Today, my special guest is Bernie Griffiths. Now, I've had him on the show before. Have a look at show number 21. In today's show, we're going to do another case study, and it's one of Bernie's clients in New Zealand. Her name's Kim, and she's doing a horse book project. Now, it's a really smart way of getting great PR in your community, giving back to charity, and creating something that gets clients walking through your door. Now, the really interesting thing about Kim's horse project, she's calling it Horse Tails, T-A-I-L-S, which is quite ingenious, actually, is she's actually doing a lot of it remotely. So she's not doing the planning session face-to-face, and she's not doing the sales presentation face-to-face. She's actually selling online. And she's still managing to make over $1,000 on average per client. And that's very smart. So I wanted to find out how Bernie has coached Kim to do this and how he's got her back on track, because she lost a little bit of enthusiasm and he's got her excited about photography again, got a great book project happening. I dive into much detail how you actually create this book, what you're charging, what her different packages are, so that she can actually make a sale of $1,000 or more online and not in person. Now, if you are a photographer and you're looking to attract more clients, I would highly suggest you listen to this podcast and then take action. Do something similar to what Kimberly's doing in New Zealand. And I recommend this to all my PhotoProfit community students who are actually getting their businesses up and running. My 8-week course, this is a great way to get your business kickstarted, get something happening, get a lot of excitement in the community, give back to charity, and start making some money and getting runs on the board really quickly and putting some money in the bank. So welcome back, Bernie Griffiths. This is show number 31. So go to photoprofit.net/31 to get all the show notes and all the links to Bernie's coaching. Now, Bernie is a very smart business person. He's a great coach. He's been in the portrait and wedding business for over 40 years. So he knows what he's talking about. He's tried everything, and now he's helping students like Kimberly get going and start making money. So if you are in that situation and you need a little bit of a kick in the pants and you like the way Bernie talks and what he's doing with other people, then I highly suggest you get hold of him, contact him. He's a really good guy. Just chat to him and see what you can do and whether you can help each other. So all the show notes are at photoprofit.net/31. Let's get into it. Let's find out how Kimberly has gone from zero clients in the horse industry to, I think she's shot 20 now, and she's halfway through this book, and now she's doing an average sale of $1,000 online, not in person. Let's get into it.
Photo Profit. Make more profit in your photography business.
Hey, Bernie, welcome back to the Photo Profit Show. How are you doing?
I'm good, Brent. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Well, Bernie, last time we chatted, I think it was photoprofit.net/21, and we spoke about a case study of one of your clients from New Zealand, Kimberly, I believe it was.
Yes.
And I think we're going to talk about her again today. She's tried something new and had some major success with it.
Yes, Kimberly Kent, who's based in New Zealand, about an hour and a half away from Auckland. And we had a lot of success with Kimberly. She's a pet photographer. We specifically focused on dogs, had a lot of success photographing that genre. This year we thought we'd try something else, and we thought we'd get her on a book project photographing horses.
Okay, so we're going to call this podcast Horsing Around with Photography or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's
good. All right, so so why did you try to go for a different niche? What happened up to this point?
Okay, well, the book project was very successful, and Kimberly was sort of flat out. But, you know, with doing so many sittings of the same genre, a photographer can get a little burnt out and a little bit tired. It becomes a bit repetitious. The enthusiasm goes a little bit, and the passion, and it just becomes the same old, same old. So flicking to another genre that she's not really, well versed in is always good to bring the enthusiasm back and bring the challenges back.
Yeah, I think that's something that's quite unique to us photographers being creative people. You, once you're doing something quite a lot, you get bored with it and you need something fresh to just get the creative energy going again. So so she got her enthusiasm back. That's great. So tell me, how did you go through the whole process of setting up this horse photography marketing attraction system, and then what were the results?
Yeah. Okay, so it's another book project like she did. So the first thing is we find a charity.
Okay.
We found a horse charity that saved horses that were being badly treated. And then once you've got your genre, once you've got your project, it's easy then to target the people you go to, the businesses and the people that you need to help you to drive the project and to drive customers to you.
Okay.
In this case, of course, with horses, we've got pony clubs, we've got horse riding. The whole equine sort of area is open to us to promote the horse book. The book, by the way, is called Horse Tales.
Okay, so similar to the other one, wasn't it? Dog
Tales? Yeah, Dog Tales, yeah. T-A-I-L-S.
Okay, yes. Okay, very smart. Okay, so just jump back. So you got your charity on board. So you, obviously, Kimberly, she went to visit the people who are running the charity and told them that of what she wanted to do, or does she just choose a charity and say, okay, this is who we're going to give our money to?
Yeah, you can do either way. In her case, she approached the charity and they were quite happy for it to get on board and help raise funds to help the horses.
Okay. So once you've got the charity and you've spoken to them, would they actually help you to do the next step, which is, finding other partners that go with the book?
It's finding others. For example, she sent me this email and she said, "Hi, Bernie, it's 11 a.m. I have been emailing and messaging and texting clients since 8:30 nonstop." And she said she had 5 shoots to make times for, but she's been so busy with this other stuff with the horse book. She said, "It's gone a bit crazy. I've just had a horse riding place that has 144 members email me and said she will do a huge post about it and email every client she has. Pony club members are wanting spaces." Then I put a post up this morning and she had 18 messages to reply to. So she says, "I always remember you saying to me that one day you will be too busy and it's a good problem to have. I'm solidly booked again now for the next 5 weeks with no spaces at all." So once you get some momentum going with this, once you get people promoting, it can start this snowball effect and somebody else sees it and then they get on board, then somebody else, then you get another vendor on board and they say, "We want to be part of this." So the baseline is that it's a charity, it's a fundraiser for a charity, and that's the attraction of it to people. And of course, it drives clients in front of Kimberly's camera. And of course, we can't make sales unless we're photographing. So
yes,
and Kimberly does a great job. So once she gets the clients back, obviously she makes sales.
Okay, so for people that haven't listened to the previous podcast where I interviewed you, Bernie, number 21, how it works is you're creating a book, right? So you find a charity. So for instance, this time it's a horse charity. And what you do is you have the sitting fee. So you market it this way. You put it out there to tell people that you're photographing horses and they're going to go into this book. One of your images of your horse is going to go into this book, which you can then purchase. And I think it's you just do one book per year or something like that, right?
That's right.
And then the sitting fee for the photo shoot goes to the charity, right? All of it goes. So let's just say it's $100. What was she charging?
$65.
$65 for the sitting fee where we come over and photograph the horse. Do you photograph people on the horse?
The idea is to try and get the family in as well, or at least the horse owner.
Okay, so the horse owner with the horse doing a shoot, about an hour shoot? Okay, so that fee goes directly to the charity. So you got the charity on board. They're going to go, they get to choose one image which goes into the book, which they can purchase at a later date. And then how you make your money is when they come in to look at the images of them on the horse, they purchase prints, and that's how the photographer makes some money. So the charity benefits by getting money for nothing.
Yep.
The client, the horse owner, benefits by feeling good about giving money to a charity and also getting a deal for their photography. So they actually get the photo shoot.
Yep.
And do they get a print also, Bernie?
Yeah, we're not giving a print this time around.
Okay, so it's just the sitting
so
fee.
So they just get a photographic session. So Kim is donating her time to the charity.
Okay, great. So she's donating her time. Everyone feels good. The horse owner has an excuse to get their horse photographed because they feel good about the charity and giving money to the charity also. And then you can get everyone on board. So you can go for bigger organizations like pony clubs or those type of groups of people that are the same genre. And you can get them to actually email their members and organize a lot of people to see your marketing. Now, it's a very smart fundraising, or smart way to attract clients to you. And she's done it with the Dog Tales book too. So at the end of the year, when she photographed, 100 or so people, you put together the book and then you print it and then you send it to the people who have actually ordered their image. All right. Anything I forgot in
good. Generally, okay. Though, we don't say it's the sitting fee. Normally, we say it's a participation fee.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
So the photographer's donating the time. As you say, the charity gets money in without doing anything except promoting the book a little bit, and the consumer gets some nice photographs or the possibility of buying nice photographs of the horse and the family. There's an interesting twist happens here, or happened with Kimberly, because she was in the middle of Auckland, and so people used to go back to her home. And she does run a home business and do the sales face to face. But Kim moved to a fantastic farm about an hour and a half out of Auckland. And she said that people are quite happy, to go to her with the dogs and that. But obviously with the horses, she has to travel to them.
Okay.
But she said with the dogs that she's photographing now, people are not willing to go back and do a face-to-face selling session.
Okay.
So she started selling online and very successfully and very basically. All she does is she sends some low-res images over the internet with a big watermark across them and with her prices, and people order from there. So we're looking at a purpose-built software for her to do her sales online. There are a few out there, but we want to make it a bit more personal to her. So we're working with someone on that at present. So she can do some online sales and some face-to-face sales.
Okay, that's really interesting, because I've found in my photography business that online sales don't work. Because I don't know if you told me this, Bernie, or someone did, that if the client can see the images, there's no reason for them to actually purchase the prints. If they can see it on their phone or their laptop or whatever, is there some kind of scarcity method that you can use? So they're only online for 72 hours or something like that. So people have, you're kind of incentivizing them to get online and order now before they're gone.
Yeah, there certainly is. I think she leaves them on for 4 or 5 days, but it's interesting. You say that, but we've learned a lot since, I spoke to you those years ago about trying to sell your photographs online. We've learned a lot about how to do it a lot more successfully. And Kim's last order was $1,600. So that's pretty good online.
Wow, that's amazing. $1,600 online. I've never heard of that. Bernie, what are the secrets to selling online?
Well, I think one of the things we've learned is that we're very upfront with a customer, and we can get leads, that's fine, but lead conversion is one of the keys now in any business, turning those leads into paying customers.
Yeah.
So Kim's approach is totally different now, totally different than the dog book.
Okay.
With the dog book, there was a print included, so they did end up with something. With this, there's no print. So if you know, the consumer wants to buy something, then they have to buy it. There's nothing free. So that means that we can talk to these people and say, I'll put the photographs online. They're up there for 4 days to make your selections. Most people spend between $700 and $1,200, but it's up to you. The best value is in the packages or collections, and collection number 3 and 4 are the best value for you. So we can be right up front and tell them really what they're going to spend.
What's expected.
What's expected. So they know, they're under no false illusion, and they don't think they're being tricked into anything. It's just the way it is. We just tell them, well, I'm going to take these photos. You're going to love them. So don't be afraid of spending money and getting some great prints.
Oh, that's amazing. That is really good. What about, I guess the hard bit with the online is overcoming objections. So I know face-to-face when you're in a sales room and people are letting you know that, oh, you know, maybe that's a little too much. Do you have like a payment system, or can I put down a little bit now and pay it over 3 months or something like that? You can't really do that online because you're not hearing what their objections are. How does she take care of that?
Well, as I say, so things have changed. So what helps that enormously is by being upfront with the consumer and just telling them their expectations. So there's very little objection. It's not a matter of I can't afford it. They know all the prices up front anyway.
Okay, good. And you're also dealing with a different genre of people. People that can own horses normally aren't, you know, on the dole and living off the government. You know, they're normally quite affluent and reasonably wealthy if they can afford to run a horse or own a horse.
Well, that's the assumption, but it's not quite true, Brent.
Oh, really? Okay.
What we've found, because I'm also doing this project with someone else, there are people who struggle, you know, to pay off the food for the horse. And a horse costs a lot of money. I've never had one, but, you know, a horse would be like a car, right? Needs fuel and needs a lot of maintenance, vet fees, et cetera. So it's not 100% that people who have a horse have money, but we have to assume that a large proportion of them are fairly well off.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So she's using online sales and in-person. So the in-person sales is when people actually come to her home.
Yes.
And she can show them on a big screen. Does she ever go to other, to the client's home to help them choose images?
No, at this stage, there's no reason to do that. With some of my other clients, we do that. But in this case, I think because Kim's, you know, she has clients all over New Zealand, and there's a lot of travel involved for her and for them. So she just picks which is the best for them.
Okay.
But you see, the other thing is, Kim is happy to average just over $1,000 per portrait. It sort of keeps her busy, so she does 5 or 6 a week, you know, at an average of 1,000, and, you know, 5,000 a week is pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so Bernie, can I jump back to the client attraction little bit? So we've gone through the sales, how she does the sales. Can we go back to the client attraction bit? And just I just want to do a step-by-step rundown of how you do it. So we've got the charity on board. They're keen. They might actually email their members for this charity. Is that the first step?
Put them on Facebook as well. They may put a Facebook post onto their Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. So the charity emails, the charity might put it onto their Facebook to get people involved. What do they put on Facebook and on email? Do they say, or do they run down what's going to happen and the call to action that you should call Kimberly on this phone number now? What's the call to action when it comes to those kind of advertising or that kind of marketing?
Yeah, well, the key is to keep it very simple.
Okay.
So normally the title would be Wanted Horses and Their Families.
Okay.
And then underneath, we're looking for horses and their families for new upcoming book called Horse Tales. the book is part of a project to raise funds for the whatever charity. Contact Kimberly, and then an email address and a phone number.
Okay. And is there a date on there? It's going to happen over this time frame?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what happens is, obviously, Kimberly's been flooded with people calling her, you know, so that obviously takes up a lot of time, but that's great sort of time, isn't it? That's important time when people are...
So that's converting your clients. Yeah. I think, you know, on the phone conversion is, or face-to-face, it's probably a lot better than just someone booking you over email or something like that.
That's right. And of course, Kimberly has a lot of contact with them and talks to them and what she's going to do. And we also have to understand that Kimberly has built up a very high profile over the last, you know, couple of years that I've been coaching her. She's been in the newspapers, and so we've lifted the profile, and so people have probably heard about her anyway.
Okay.
And that's one of the keys as well. It's unrealistic for a photographer to expect just to go out there and, you know, get a lot of sittings and get high sales when they haven't done the groundwork, which is just lifting their profile and getting people to know of their existence and what they do. It's all this trust factor.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, the PR that she's obviously used in the newspapers, on Facebook, and having a dog book already. I suppose you could take that to the charity and show them what she's done and how much she raised for the previous charity, and that's already giving her some proof and authority on what she can do. All right, so the first step was to go to the charity, you know, sell them on what you're doing, basically get them involved. They then email their members and they put it on their Facebook. What is the next step? Is it to contact the groups where your client is going to be hanging out, like pony clubs and that type of thing?
Yes, anything connected in this case with horses. So, of course, there are vets, there are pony clubs, anything equine, anything to do with horses. You can approach them and get them to help, because, you know, horse lovers are horse lovers. So
what do you put? What do you give them? Do you ask them to email their members? Do you put up a banner on the counter at the vet clinic? How do you do that?
Yes, any displays like that. Anytime you can show your photography is great. The more you can put your photography in front of potential clients is a good way to go. So yeah, in vets, putting a display up there, putting some DL flyers, getting the vets to promote, posters in shop windows in the local community, promoting the book.
Okay.
Anything you can do. And that's the good thing. Once you pick a project, you know where your target is.
Definitely. And you probably want to get it to the newspaper too, right?
Of course. I mean, that's number one. You phone up the editor and you say, you know, you're doing this fundraising project and it's going to be a book called Horse Tales. Would you like to do a story on it?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right. So you're getting all this marketing or your message out into the market to the right people that you've chosen. So you're obviously going for groups where your ideal client is.
Yep.
You're also getting PR through newspapers and that type of thing. You're putting on your Facebook page. Then you start getting the inquiries, people starting to call you. And then I guess you've got to convert them. So you've got to book them in. Now, does she go through a planning meeting where she'll meet with the horse owner first and plan the photo shoot, or is it all on the phone?
It's all on the phone. As I say, because of distance, like she might be driving half an hour or an hour. But no, the great thing is, the other thing you should do, of course, is Kim didn't have any photographs of horses.
Mm.
So she needed photographs of horses because she needed to show people on her Facebook post or others what she can do. So what she did, she put up a Facebook post which said, looking for horses to photograph, complimentary photographic session and print. In this case, she gave a print. And from that, she had five people respond. So She went and photographed the horses, took some great photos of horses, so she was able to use those in part of a promotion.
Good. Okay, so she needed a horse photo. That's quite crucial.
Yeah, she needed some samples to show what she was looking for.
And I like the way that she's actually asked clients or asked people to photograph them and not doing it for free. Well, she's giving a print away, but I bet you she made some money on those photo shoots anyway. So you're not giving them all the photos for free to that's get right. a couple of photos that you can use for marketing. You're actually making money, and that's very smart.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, so so people call her. She converts them. She books them in. In some kind of booking system, Google Calendar or whatever. And then once she's photographed them, she will then does she process the images and then upload them online?
Yep.
Okay. So how many does she upload?
Kim's pretty good. She'd run about the 30 to 40 mark.
Okay. Process.
A lot of photographers, of course, take too many photographs and they go a bit berserk. It's a bit clickety-click, clickety-click. The key is just to really focus and get a variety of photographs so that the client can't resist buying a big bunch of them.
Yeah, and you know what I used to do was this was my theory behind it, is I would take the best image from each scene.
Yeah. That's it.
So depending on what scenes, if I had mum and dad together or Johnny, little Johnny and his sister, or Johnny on his own, close up, you know, I'd have one of each scene. And mine was 20 to 30 of the best images I would show people. If I did more than 30 people, it was too many for people to choose and they couldn't, whittle it down to the best 5 or 6 or 10. So then people actually just choose one. So you got to test and measure these things. What's the best number? For me, it was 20 to 30. Actually, getting up to 30 was even too much for most of my clients.
Yeah.
All right. So she uploads them. She puts a time limit on the online gallery. She obviously emails the client to say, hey, your beautiful images of you and your horse are online now. You got 4 days to choose your prints and place your order. Now, that's all done online, right? So people actually choose them, they add them to the shopping cart, check out with a credit card or something like that, and then it all happens. All right. And then she will print these images and then deliver them. Does she deliver them via mail? Do people come pick them up? How does it work?
I think she does 50-50. It just depends whether they're close enough to collect or whether she just delivers. The thing about the price list and it's all about profit. It's not just about high sales. You can have high sales but have very little profit. So in Kim's case, her collections, they're all based on digital files and prints, 7x5 and 10x8 inches.
Okay.
And, if you can get an average of over $1,000 and all you're selling your files and 4 or 5 prints, your profit is really high.
Yes. So how many collections did she have?
She's got 3 collections. I'm just looking at her price list now, which are about to revise.
Okay. And I guess the collections are designed so that the average profit or the average sale is around $1,000 or more.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Can you give us a couple of examples? What's the middle the middle one like? Because in my experience, most people go for the middle package.
Yeah, well, the middle package contains 4 gift prints, which would be 4 7x5 inch prints and 5 of your favorite files on a USB. And that's $990. So that's, 9 images.
Okay, and the favorite files, are they full resolution files?
Yeah, they're just normal resolution.
Okay, and that's the middle. That's a middle package, and then there's obviously one
higher,
in the $1,000 mark, and then there's one a little bit less than that.
There's one $1,350, and there's one at $720. So there's very little cost involved with products there.
Okay, perfect. And does she mat the images before she sends them to people, or does she just send them as standalone?
No, they have to be matted, ready for framing. A 7x5 in a 10x8 inch a mat is ideal. And
yeah, I think presentation and delivery is really important, because you don't want people coming back and saying, hey, you know, I could have printed these at my local printer, and you know, they're just all loose images. So that's a really good tip.
Yeah, the perceived value is so much higher when you present it properly. I can remember in my own business when I did that years ago, the first time I slid a 5x7 print into a 10x8 mat, you know, I went, wow, that looks now as though it's worth something.
Yes, so, it does. And the mat board doesn't cost that much. No. You know, it costs like $2.50 or so. It costs a lot less just a little bit more than the print. But, but the perceived value is that's worth $220.
Correct.
Because now it's in a little bit of cardboard. Yeah. Perfect. All right. And what about the book? So the when people choose a package, do they choose which one of the images goes in the book?
No. One of the areas we needed to tighten up was that if we allow the consumer to pick the photograph, that can be time consuming. So we say the image will be chosen by a graphic artist who designs the book, because we want a variety of images so she knows what's going to look best. So we choose the image.
Okay. Well, that's smart. Yeah, so you don't have an extra something that the client has to choose, which might stop them from checking out and making the sale happen.
Yeah.
You don't want to give them too many choices.
Well, that's right.
All right. And then what about the price of the book? Now, is that included? Like, so let's just say the $9.90 package, that includes the book, one book?
No, it doesn't include.
Okay.
The book normally... you sell the book at whatever it costs you. Normally, that's around about $45 to $65.
Okay.
And remember, the books are also by pre-order. In other words, when Kim has got, she says she's halfway through this book, and we only started promoting this year. So she's got over 20 horse sessions already booked, which is pretty cool because it's only February.
Yeah. So I know.
She's
crazy.
So she's halfway, and the book, just to give a little bit of insight into how to do it, when Kim has done 40 shoots, which is enough to put into the book, then she will email all the participants who she's photographed, whose photos to go into the book, and everyone she photographs goes into the book, and ask them if they want to purchase a copy.
Okay.
Before it's published. So a pre-published price may be $55, and then if they wait until it's published, then it may be $75.
Okay, great. Okay, that's a very...
If 20 people order a book, then she only orders 20 books.
Okay.
So in the good old days when photographers were doing this all wrong... they'd get the cheapest book price out of China, which could be $25 or $30, but they'd have to order, you know, 200 or 300.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were obviously left with 200 sitting in the garage that they couldn't sell.
Yeah, true. All right. So does she get it done locally then in New Zealand?
There's one or two different ways to do these books. The way I've done the books I've done is through Blurb.
Okay, yeah.
Blurb is a self-publishing company, and they've got great software, drag and drop, very easy to put together. But there's Memento Pro, there's different places you can get it done. But I particularly like Blurb because it is primarily for books.
Mm-hmm.
So like numbering the pages is easy, it does that automatically, and there's a lot of... choices as well in the paper you can use, and in the cover, whether it's hard cover, soft cover, whether you got a dust cover as well. There's a wraparound. There's lots of choices, and it's very easy and can be quite inexpensive if you get the right time. I had a client who had a book project going, and Blurb were offering a 40% discount.
Oh, nice.
So she grabbed the opportunity to order 100 books for her mother and daughter project.
Perfect. Mm. All right. Now, something that's in the back of my mind, Bernie, and I'm thinking about this, is Is this a project that runs over a certain amount of time? So, for instance, is it over 3 months or a certain amount of people? Because I'm just trying to think, and I teach my students in my photo profit community, I teach them all about scarcity, and you want to make it like an exclusive, limited number of people get into this book or over a limited amount of time. What's your take on that?
Well, yeah, the scarcity is that it's limited to 40.
Oh, right, okay. The 40 people get into this book.
So there's 40, yeah, get into the book. So,
right.
And that goes very quickly. As I say, Kim's halfway through already, so there's never a problem getting 40 people into a book if you do it properly. Mm-hmm. We're organizing a book for one of my clients next year, and we're looking at getting 100 in this book. This is going to be a really good book. It's going to be a dog book, but we've got everything in place. We're just going to press the button at the end of March, and that will run throughout the year. So we hope to get the book ready and published before Christmas.
Perfect. All right. What were the biggest challenges for Kimberly so far putting together this this horse book and this project?
Motivation.
from her?
Yeah. I think the thing is that, you know, I'd coached Kimberly previously and we'd got her up and running, and I've just got an email in front of me where she's talking about when we first got together and I started coaching her, where she was talking about, as we did in the previous podcast, about she was saying she has loads in her life, fostering puppies, getting married, 5 kids, house on the market, flying back and forth to Alice to see her fiance. And she was very busy. But what she's saying is that her business became a full-time business. She said, when I first talked to you, it was floundering part-time business that I was desperately trying to make full-time. She says there are loads of areas I needed to work on, etc. And she says, you quite honestly saved my business. I was just about to give it away. Now my profile is huge here and my brand is really out there. So you sort of, her challenge was, and why she re-employed me, was she lost a bit of motivation, had run out of ideas. She needed that little bit of kick up the butt just to get her moving again. And that didn't take long. That took a week or so. So, and now she's rolling again, you know, and
I think that's one of the biggest benefits of getting a coach, Bernie, is someone to hold you accountable. Because when you're working for yourself and there's no boss that tells you, hey, have you done this today? What about that client? Have you followed them up? There's no one to hold you accountable. So if you don't want to do it, you just don't do it. And you can get into that rut where you just you lose motivation or you get burnt out. Actually, a lot of people that I talk to, professional photographers, get burnt out because they just go and never balance it with life and taking time off and constantly having their phones on, you know, and getting notifications of what's going on and emails wherever you are at night and in bed or whatever it is. So I think the big takeaway for me is you've got to be able to switch off, take some time off, don't shoot for a week or two, don't even check email, don't do anything, go away, go somewhere where there's no internet and recharge, and then come back with energy to jump back into another project.
And the other thing is, and Kim is like a lot of people, a lot of photographers that I coach, she still lacks some self-esteem and belief in herself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which amazes me, because her work now is so good, but still she has this uncertainty that she can't lift her prices. She still feels she's not worthy. And I suppose a lot of people feel that way. And if we could just take her to that next level, and it is all about going to the next level all the time. There's no stopping. You can't stop. It's always trying to got that next stair and keep going forward. But this is what we're working on now. We're going to lift her prices. We're going to start her, you know, working on the next level, so she doesn't have to shoot so many sessions, that she can work less and earn more.
For sure. And I think it goes back to the mindset, you know, the what you're thinking, what are your limiting beliefs, you know, when it comes to your self-belief and how you see yourself and the things that people have told you in the past that you actually believe that aren't true.
Yeah.
And also having the confidence to say, yes, I am worth what I'm charging and people are paying it. You know, how many hundreds of times do you need someone to spend over $1,000 with you before you actually believe that you're worth,
something?
That, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, Bernie, because I'm getting this too with my my little community. A lot of people are asking me about confidence. How do I get that confidence, and how do I overcome those, I guess, those fears, you know, of fear of failure?
Yeah.
And then even a lot of people have the fear of success. They just don't realize it. Like, what will happen to my life when I'm successful?
Yeah.
You know, like I'll lose my friends or family or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. All right, Bernie. Well, let's wrap it up. This has been a really good talk. I'm loving all these amazing tips that you're giving us on how to attract clients and how to convert them. You know, last time in Photo Profit episode number 21, we talked about Kimberly also and her dog book, how she made went from, you know, not even breaking even to making over $1,000 per client in just a few months and really enjoying it. Now we're talking about a slightly different one. It's a horse tales book, and it's a similar concept, but a few things have changed. So she's selling online instead of selling in person. She didn't actually have any images of horses when she started, which is really interesting. So she put it out there on Facebook and got samples and actually made money out of that. We also went into detail on how to actually put the book together and all the packages that she's got. So the pricing strategy to make an average sale of $1,000. And then also the scarcity of only having 40 people in the book. Really like it. Bernie, any action steps for someone who wants to do something similar to this? Should they contact you?
Yeah, sure. They can just go to my website. All the contact details are there. Yes, I can help them. They needn't have any fear of contacting me. I'm fairly open. I'll give free advice. That's not a problem. And see if I can guide them in any direction that they want to go.
Perfect. Bernie, and you work in business for quite a number of years, right?
Yes, 1969 I bought my studio. So I had the studio for just over 40 years. A wedding portrait studio, and when I left that, I became a full-time coach, and I just coach photographers, so that's my niche.
Awesome. Perfect, Bernie. Well, thank you so much for being on the show again. We'll have all the show notes and all the links to your website in there, but if you just want to let me know where people should go next, what is the best way to contact you right now?
Yep, just info at BernieGriffiths.com.
Perfect. Thanks, Bernie. I'll have to get you on the show again. Love talking to you because I know what you say and what you've done really works because it's worked in my business. You know, you helped me change a few things when you came and had a look at my studio, which took my average sale up at extra $200 or so. And I'm very thankful for that. That ended up being, you know, tens of thousands of dollars over a couple of years. So,
yeah, it's just awesome. It's the little things. I think next time, Brent, what you said is true. A lot of photographers have these blocks. I'm just working with a client, actually, and we're doing something on the blockers, and we've called it the Big Eight Blockers. And I'd love to talk to you about that. We talk about the things that hold people back, their fears, like the fear of failing, not being liked, losing money, getting too busy, rejection. We talk about change. People don't like change. They're happy in the comfort zone. Analysis paralysis, too much on the mind, don't know what to do first. Time, not enough time. Lack of knowledge, they just don't know what to do, and that's holding them back. That's a block. They're wanting everything perfect, having everything right. That's another big block. The lack of support. No self-esteem. So there's heaps of blockers there. And if we can just pull out one of those plugs that's holding someone back, then they can, like Kimberly, just get this flow and this momentum. And I'd love to talk to you about that because I'm sure we can help a lot of photographers out there.
Definitely. Let's do that after you've come back from overseas. Okay. I know you're traveling to New York and all sorts of places right now. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, let's talk about that next time, Bernie. Right. I'd love to.
Love to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
Catch you later.
Bye for now.
Okay, bye.
To find out more, go to photoprofit.net. Don't forget to leave Brent some feedback too.